Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. A few weeks back, we talked about coming in and going out. We talked about you got to come in, the glory, the wonder, the power of God, the anointing on your life. I mean, you come in, the reason you come in is to go out. We talked about that coming in and going out principle. I mean, coming in is to get whacked in the presence of God. But the reason for getting so saturated with His goodness and His glory is so that you can go out and be a dispenser. The reason you get filled up is so that you can release it. You know, if all you do is receive and receive and receive, there's a sea called the Dead Sea. How many heard of the Dead Sea? You know why they call it the Dead Sea? Because it only receives. It never gives out. It just takes in, takes in, takes in, and so it becomes the Dead Sea. If all you do is, "I just love Jesus, oh, I just want more of Him, glory," you know, and that sounds good on the surface, but if that's all you do and you never share that with someone in need, you never share that with someone who needs to be set free and know about Jesus, well, I'll share it with all my believer friends. I call them all the time and we pray. No, that's still coming in. Going out is when you're on purpose seeing that people are in bondage, people need to know Jesus, people need to be set free. That's going out. And if you're not going out, you don't turn more in towards God. You turn in on yourself and you become that ugly, self-centered, bad, stinky breath person who is a Dead Sea. And we don't want to do that. And I don't want to preach it again. It was there. You can listen to it on the internet. But it's a very real principle in the Word of God. Solomon said, "Help me, Lord, I need to know how to come in and go out." And coming in and going out is a life principle of God. If you're not going out, you're close to something nasty. Because you were created to come in and go out. You can't go out without coming in, but you got to come in and go out. Amen? Somebody say amen. Somebody say thank you, Pastor. Come on, go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, going to look at Jesus. Jesus went out. Now, Jesus went out. Jesus was going out. So Jesus is a great example of what it is to go out. And here's a fantastic historical event of how Jesus went out. You ready? John 4, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though he himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and he departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria." Isn't that interesting? He needed to go through Samaria. Now, Samaria was an area where they were people who were part Jewish and part another race. They were people who really were despised more than just even Gentiles because, you know, they were like half-breeds. So they were people that the Jews really did not like at all. But it says that Jesus needed to go through Samaria. Jesus needed to go through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, and near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well about the sixth hour. Say weary. What was going on? Jesus, who emptied himself of divinity, they didn't stop being God, but he emptied himself of the privilege of being God. He was just like you and just like me. If he was driving home at 3 o'clock in the morning, he would feel tired like I do today. He was weary. He was weary. And it was about the sixth hour. What is the sixth hour? How many know what the sixth hour is? It was about noon. So it was about noon, okay? And there they were, the woman. And a woman of Samaria came out and said to him, a woman of Samaria came to draw water and said, and he said to her, "Hey, give me a drink." Now, why would a woman go get water in the heat of the day at the highest time where the sun's at its peak? Why would a woman go get water at that time of the day? You know why? She would go get water at a time when no one else is there because she was an outcast of society. The women went early in the day, and then they would go later in the day. They went at cool times of the day to collect water early in the morning, get some water later in the day. But she went at noon when nobody would be around because she was an outcast, and she didn't like all the social issues she had to face every time she ran into people. People looked down on her, and she went through difficulties all the time. So she would go in the heat of the day just so she didn't have to put up with anybody. So she gets there and she sees this guy who's obviously a rabbi or a teacher, and she can tell that by the way he's dressed, and he's sitting on the well. He's sitting on the well. It's a very, very cool thing right there to have the one who is the living water sitting there on the well. So he's sitting on the well, and imagine you're coming to get water and this guy is sitting on the well. A bit awkward. I can tell he's a Jew too. This is interesting, but I've got to get water. Didn't feel like seeing anybody. Certainly not seeing some guy like this. So she's there. She starts dipping water. She says, hey, give me a drink too. What? Hey, why don't you give me a drink too? So then the woman said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? I mean, there are a lot of obstacles in this whole thing. A lot of obstacles in me. There's a lot of obstacles culturally, racially, in every way. And here's this guy asking me for a drink. And she answered and said, for Jews don't have any dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and if you knew who it was who was saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. What? Jesus answered, and then the woman said, sir, you don't even have a bucket. You don't have a cup. You don't have anything. I mean, the well is really, really deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, who drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I give him shall become a fountain in him, springing up unto eternal life. And the woman said to him, well, sir, give me this water, then I may not thirst again, nor come here to draw water. I mean, man, if you got the ability to do that, I would love to not have to come here again. I mean, if you can give me a fountain that's around me, with me all the time, popping up, springing up all the time, I'm in. Give me some of that. So the woman said, then the woman answered and said, Jesus said to her, listen, well, go call your husband and have him come here. And she answered and said, well, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have said, well, I have no husband, for you have five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. In that you have spoken truly. And then she went, ba, 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 ba. The woman said, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Why? Because what he said was the truth. I perceive that you are a prophet. For I have five husbands, and the one who you have now is not your husband. You spoke truly. I perceive you are a prophet. Verse 20, our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. That's a really good verse right there. Really good and relevant even for folks today. Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. Isn't that amazing? I mean, even the Samaritan woman who had this different form of experience and relationship, even she knew, I know the Messiah is coming. Even though she had a messed up, screwed up life, five different husbands, was such a social outcast, she came to get, you know, water at the middle of the day, still deep in her heart, she had a hope and a belief that there's somebody who's going to redeem me and save me from this life that I've been living. There's that hope in every single person you run into. Every single person in there, it says in the Word of God that he's put eternity in the heart of every man. You know, every single person is already pre-designed to hear you say, do you want to meet Jesus? Thank you very much. Thank you. Got that amen. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will teach us all things. And then Jesus said to her, I who speak to you. Am he? Boom ba. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha ha. Verse 27, at this point, the disciples came and they marveled that he was talking with a woman. What are you doing? Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, drops the water pot, back into the city, and she said to the men, come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. A woman who went in the middle of the day because she didn't like to have to run into people, didn't like to see people. This social outcast, suddenly, when she was touched by Jesus and met him, she drops her water pot and she's ready to go tell everybody, I have met the Messiah. So she runs back, talks to everybody, and she says, come and see the man. Could this be the Christ? So they went out of the city and came to him. And in the meantime, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat. I mean, we were walking all that way. You were weary. You were hungry. You sent us to get food. Come on, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, wow, did somebody get him a Big Mac or a cheeseburger while we weren't here? I mean, what happened? Did he have a snack pack? Did he have a granola bar in his pocket? What did he do? Has anyone bought him something to eat? And Jesus said to them, no, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Hello! My food is to do the will of him who sent me. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. You will never be spiritually satisfied, spiritually full, or spiritually nurtured in your experience with God if you don't do the will of him who sent you. And the will of him who sent you is to tell everybody about your Savior. You are spiritually depleted. You are spiritually malnourished if you're not doing the will of your Father. I want to grow spiritually. I want to increase spiritually. I want spiritual food. I want to mature. My food is to do the will of the Father. Hello. Yum, yum. You want to grow spiritually? Grow spiritually. Tell somebody about Jesus. Has anybody ever told somebody about Jesus? Has anybody actually told somebody about Jesus and they listened to you, they got excited about it and accepted Jesus? How excited were you at that moment? Whoa! How satisfied were you? How blown away were you? How spiritually ecstatic were you? That's what we got to be doing, folks. Too many Christians are so beat down in their own circumstances, they don't have any good news in their own life. They don't have anything to share. You do have something to share. You do have something to share. The woman left her water pot. She went, told everybody. They come back. And he said, listen, it says, therefore, he said, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. And look at the next phrase, and to finish his work. To do the will, finish the work. To do the will and to finish the work. What is the food of the spiritually mature? To do his will, to finish the work. To do his will, to finish the work. Turn to your neighbor, just shout at them. To do his will, to finish the work. To do his will, to finish the work. Shine! October 28th. Everybody is out. And everybody has invited like 100 people. I thought maybe one or two. 100! 100 people! Next week I'm going to have door knockers. You can go through your neighborhood and give them to everybody. I don't have them yet. It just came to my head. I don't know if I even will. I think I might. I'll try. We'll see what happens. If I got you a bunch of door knockers, would you go down your whole street and fill your street with invitations? Who would? Man, I'm getting them. Double dog getting them. What is your food? To do the will, finish the work. What is the work? The earth full of the knowledge of the glory of God. How does that happen? A river of his goodness flowing out of your belly. Okay, I got to move on. Praise Jesus. I got 10 minutes to finish. Are you ready? In the meantime, his disciples said, come on, have something to eat. He said, now listen, verse 35, do not say there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They are already white for the harvest. And he who reaps receives wages, gathers fruit for eternal life. And both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Glory to God. For in this saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which another man has labored. Then the Samaritans came out. Many of the Samaritans of the city believed him because of the word of the woman. Isn't that great? Listen to that. Many believed him because of the word of the woman. Many believed him because of the word of the woman. Many believed him because of the word of the woman. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to tell people, Jesus touched my life. Don't be afraid of that. Just turn to your neighbor right now, right to them, and say, Jesus touched my life. Was that hard? How complicated is that? Jesus touched my life. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 more days, and many more believed because of his own word. Many believed because of her word. Many others came out, and many believed because of his word. Many will believe just because you speak to them. Many others will believe because you get them out to church. They experience the glory of God, Jesus in their face. Boom, they're going to believe too. How many can feel the glory all over this? How many can feel this is good? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, do the will, finish the work. Do the will, finish the work. All right, real fast, going to give you a couple things just to put a few handles on this text. You ready? Everybody say real fast, Pastor. All right, number one, you got to start the conversation. Hello, you got to start the conversation. Last night at the airport, we were there with Pastor John, Pastor Janet, and Pastor Billy, and Pastor Angela English, pastors from Peterborough and Montreal, went together with us to California, and there we were in Chicago, and I took a picture of them. And the funny thing was, after I took the picture, Janet came over and said, let me take a look at it, and Janet looked at it immediately and said, oh, it's not a good picture. Now, you know what? The picture was really, really good, but you know what wasn't good in it? Janet was kind of frowning a little bit. You know what people look at? When you take a group picture and you're in it, what's the first person you look at? Exactly. Come on, you know it's true. And I laughed because I'd written that in the airplane when I was on my way. I'd written this down because I knew I was going to share this. I go, when you look at a group picture, the first person you look at is you. And sure enough, Janet looked at herself and said, it's a bad picture. And I went, actually, everybody else looks great except you. But you know what people do? Look at themselves. And you know what? Start the conversation. What will I talk to them about? How are you? What do you do? Do you enjoy your job? How many children do you have? Oh, that's wonderful. Don't you love your children? Is that your house? How do you like your house? Oh, is that your car? Oh, that's a really cool car. Because you know what? People like to talk about themselves. You don't walk up and go, hi, I'm really cool. I'm awesome. I'm such a neat guy. I got families, kids, cars. I'm a neat guy. Want to listen to me talk for a while? Blah, 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 blah. No, you start the conversation and make the subject them. Talk about them. The wonderful, beautiful, magical language of breakthrough is talk to people about them. Hello. So start the conversation. It's not complicated. Start the conversation. Talk to people. Get involved, engage the whole situation, do something. Now, when you talk to people and you engage them, you'll get an opportunity to share your story. See, Jesus began the conversation, give me a drink. Pretty crazy stuff, give me a drink. I mean, I don't like anybody drinking out of my cup. You know what? You touch my drink, you own it. Don't touch my cup. Like, this is pretty ridiculous that Jesus is like, give me a drink. I mean, he got intimate with his lady. He's going, let me drink out of your cup. This was a crazy, crazy thing to say. Now, I'm not saying go to McDonald's and just bite somebody's hamburger. Hey, how you doing? But, I mean, Jesus got right in there. I mean, he jumped right in. But then, you know what? Jesus began to share his story. So, number one, start the conversation. Number two, share your story. Jesus shared his story. Jesus told her who he was. He literally said, I am the one who is bringing living water. You drink of this well, but if you drink of me, and he went through this whole dialogue with her, and he literally straight up said, the one you're looking for, I am he. I am the answer. I am the breakthrough. You have a desire and a hope in your heart that someday a Messiah will come. What you so deeply desire in your heart, I am it. He shared his story. He shared who he was. You know what? You can share your story. How many have a story? You know, they asked me to go to a full gospel businessman tour a couple years ago out in Alberta, and I went to all these cities, you know, Slave Lake and I don't know, just a lot of been nowhere places anyway, but I went to these places and I'm doing, and they, when I'm ready to preach, I was excited, like the fellow who invited me heard me preach, and I thought he wanted me to come because he wanted me to preach. Now I'm all ready to preach, but we're on our way to the meeting, and he says, oh, by the way, just your testimony. That's all we do at Full Gospel is just your testimony. I mean, I've prepared an awesome sermon, a breakthrough sermon, going to bring heaven on earth sermon, going to rip into them with the word of God. And he literally told me, you know what, we don't even talk about or break the word or anything. We just share our stories. You share your story and then have an altar call. You know what? I went, I don't have a story. I grew up born again. I mean, I was born in church, slept in church, got a flat head back of it from sleeping on pews. I mean, I broke my teeth, cut them through on hymnals. I mean, I don't have a testimony. What are you talking about? So I was struggling. I was actually giving my wife's testimony. I was talking about my father-in-law. I was telling all the stories. I thought they wanted to hear about miserable lives. People who had, like my wife, miserable life. Amen. If you know my wife's story, I'm telling you, most people who've been through what my wife's been through would be in a locked rubber room with a straitjacket on. The fact that she is who she is today is the glory of God. But I'm sitting there going, I've only been Adventist all my life. But then I thought my story, and I'm going, you know what? God's blessed me with a fantastic wife. God's blessed me with fantastic children. God came and he touched my heart. I know him and I know that he's with me right now. I feel his presence with me every day. I serve at a church. I pastor a fantastic group of people. We feel his presence every day. I know that he loves me. And you know, I realize I got a really awesome story. I have been so advantaged, so blessed. I have an amazing story. You know, it's not hard. Just tell people, I met Jesus. See, that woman went back and she said, I met Jesus. And a whole lot of people believed. Has anybody here met Jesus? You know, an awful lot of people just want to hear. There's a lot of people out there actually hoping that there's something to make sense of all of this. There's a lot of people out there waiting for somebody to say, I found Jesus. And it's not because he was lost. It's because he found me. But you got to share your story. You see, now right away, you're going to be confronted with obstacles. She confronted him with race. She confronted him with, you know, intellect or reason. And she confronted him with religion. He immediately starts to say, come and drink of me. I mean, you'll get life. I am the living water. And she immediately goes like, she immediately says, I'm a Samaritan. And you know, when you share with people, you'll get obstacles. How many have told people about Jesus, you get an obstacle? You'll go, well, I'm this, you know, or I'm a Presbyterian, you know. When have you been to church last? Well, I haven't been. I mean, I think my grandfather's Presbyterian, so we're all Presbyterians. Well, if your grandmother was an idiot, would that make you all idiots? Oh, just kidding. Anyways, you know. But you get all kinds of obstacles from people, you know. Well, you know, I do this, or, you know, we don't worship there, you know. You got nothing to draw water from. You can't give me water. You can't help me. You got nothing. And you'll have obstacles when you're sharing with people. But Jesus showed us how to break through the barriers and share Jesus. She even got into the religion thing. Well, you worship there, we worship here, you know. So you do your thing, I'll do my thing. Jesus said, it ain't about religion. There's a time coming when it's not about this mountain or that mountain. There's a time coming when people will worship God in their spirit and absolutely in reality, each person will know God themselves. You know, you've got to be able to break down these barriers and share your story with them and overcome those obstacles. Don't argue with them about that stuff. Just tell them, I have a personal, living, loving Savior, and you can have them too. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. That was good. But here's another thing now. Number three. Number one is start the conversation. Number two, Jesus shared his story. Number three, follow the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, when you get the obstacles, follow the Holy Spirit. But you see, here's what happens. She's given the obstacles. She's saying reasons why, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden he says, go get your husband. You say, huh? Yeah, go get your husband. Yeah, I don't have a husband. Well, you say you don't have a husband, but you're with a man now and you've actually had five husbands. How do you know that? Crazy breakthrough right there. All of a sudden, I perceive you're a prophet. Why? Because it was the truth. But it wasn't done in a way of condemnation or anything. He's just sharing some facts. You know something? You can be led by the Holy Spirit. When you get the obstacles, you get the breakthroughs. If you just tap in the Holy Spirit, he'll help you with those situations. Come on, can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? So John chapter 5:19, Jesus said, I can do nothing except with him. You know, I do nothing except with the Father. So even when you're sharing, I mean, you should be sharing, tapped up to heaven, say, Holy Spirit, help me. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Philippians 2, 6 and 7 said, Jesus emptied himself of divinity. He was just like a man, just like you and I, but he operated out of words of knowledge. He operated out of the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was moving by the Spirit when he got this breakthrough with this woman. Come on. You know, John 17, Jesus prayed that you would have encounters. He prayed that you would have an open heaven. He prayed for you to have access so you can speak into situations with the power of God. Before you even knew you could have an encounter, he said, Father, let them be with me where I am. And you've got access to wisdom and knowledge for breakthroughs in every.
Now,
can you knock the effects off of that? You just press the effects A, effects B, just knock off the effects
on that.
Awesome.
Awesome. Wow. Super duper. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
It's just the FX buttons.
One.
Still there.
Hallelujah.
I'll just keep going.
It's really huge
on the internet.
Did you get them?
Nope.
Okay, tell you what. One.
Very good. All right, I was just going to do some sound training right there. Right. We were in a taxi in India, and we were in the taxi, and we had a taxi driver who was a Muslim, and on the Friday, he dropped us off, and he said, would you mind if I went for prayers while you guys are in your meeting and things like that? And I said, oh, sure, that's great. Go for prayers. So he went for his prayers. When he came back and picked us up, I said, hey, how were the prayers? He said, oh, prayers were good today. I said, that's awesome. Did you pray for me? He goes, oh. I said, you didn't do some praying for me. I said, I was praying for you. And then, like, immediately, bam, it's like the Holy Spirit began to speak to me and said, his wife's not well. And I mean, he said, I was praying for you. And I said, you know what? When I was praying, the Holy Spirit told me about your wife's condition. He went, and he really wants you to know that he loves you and that he wants to touch her. And that this issue is not going to be a damaging issue, but you're going to see a breakthrough. God's going to touch her and he's going to raise her up. Then all of a sudden he started speaking to the Indian guy with us in Tamil, going, and they start talking, going back and forth. I said, what happened there? He goes, he wants to know how you knew about his wife. I told him the Holy Spirit, this is a man of God, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him, told him about his wife. He said, and I've been ministering to him and talking to him and telling him that that's God and God loves him. You know, there's so many times like that. I was trying to think of all these other times. I remember we were in we had a couple who wanted some help from us, and we went and met with them, and we spent some time talking with them, and she was really tormented and troubled, and her husband was very, very concerned about her. And we're talking just normally, just kind of prayerfully. There's sometimes when we're talking and we're just working with some people, sometimes in the spirit you're just treading water. You're just trying to figure out what's really going on here. But the crazy thing was, my wife just turned around and said, listen, you need to renounce mind melding. I'm like, what the heck was that? You know, I went, that's the craziest thing, mind melding. What's, is that like Spock? Or, you know, does she do the, I've never heard of such a thing. What is mind melding? But sure enough, right there, you know what? Immediately, another voice came out of her and said, why do you always do that? Leave me alone. And I'm like, whoa, okay, we touched something there. Then the husband says, what was that? I said, what do you think it was? I think that was the devil. I think you're right. So we were able to help there and minister people through a situation. But there's times where you've got to be led by the Spirit. You're wondering why you're not getting a breakthrough. But you know, you got a divine encounter with God all the time. You know, my wife, we had an ambulance pull up to the house next door, and it was an ambulance that was bringing our neighbor's mother in, and she was going to be staying there, but they needed an ambulance to bring her in. And then my wife immediately went to the kitchen and started baking pies. I was like, this is awesome. And she's baking the pies, and I'm like, this is good. What's going on? She says, it's not for you. I went, what do you mean it's not for me? This is ridiculous. And she didn't say anything to me, but when the pies were done, she took the pies, wrapped them up, went next door, knocked on the door, and said, hey, I brought you guys some pies. Then she looked in and says, oh, is that your mom? Can I come in and pray for her? Immediately, when Cheryl saw that, it's like the Holy Spirit said, make a pie. Get over there. Do something. So many ways. I mean, there's so many times we've been doing things. I remember, you guys know Chris, and I'm so amazed to have Chris back here with us. And now off in Bible school, I want to see a breakthrough in his life. But I remember the first time Chris came, he called and said, are you a pastor? I went, I am. He says, would you talk to me? I said, I will. Would you talk to me right now? I said, I will. And so he came, and as he came walking in, and he came and sat in my office. He was all tormented and all freaked out, and he was just, I thought he was going to split, going to run, and I was looking at him, and I just said, as you walked over the bridge, you came over that bridge, a voice said, you don't go there, it won't go well with you. And then I started to spill out all these other things, and he went, that's exactly what was going on. Even when I said, even when you went to grab the door, it said, run, don't go in there, it won't go well with you. And he said, I had to struggle just to open the door to get in here. And I said, that's because there's an enemy that doesn't want you to experience the goodness of God. And he's been resisting you and speaking negative things to you. But God loves you. And you know, right there, I got a breakthrough. The guy who wanted to run, he wanted to get out of there as fast as he could. But when he heard somebody tell him what was going on in his own head, he went, how do you know that? I said, God told me that because he loves you. He wants to break that off you. I mean, I can tell you so many experiences where when you're just talking with people, the Holy Spirit can help you. But the Holy Spirit will help you in witnessing situations. And it doesn't have to go weird and spooky. Yay, the Lord just told me that, yay. It doesn't have to be that. It can just be something real simple that the Lord downloads in your heart, that they may have a concern about a son. They may have something. There's something that the Lord will give you. He'll give you some word, just like he did here with this woman. The Holy Spirit wants to partner with you in reaching others. Can I get an amen? All right, here's the last one. Last one is then she shares her story. She shares her story. So you share your story. Amen. It says you start the conversation. You share your story. Follow the Holy Spirit. And then you know what happens? They share their story. And then through one story, Jesus sitting on a well with a Samaritan, one story with one woman, reached the whole city. A whole city got saved because of one witnessing experience. Come on, folks. There's so many people out there that one key could be an incredible breakthrough to a whole group of people waiting to hear about Jesus.